Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello everybody, I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here remotely with my mum to present our beloved podcast Table Manners. But before we get going, we just wanted to acknowledge the tragic events that have been happening in America that have kind of woken up the world to the inequalities faced by Black people and people of colour. And we recorded the next episode before these tragic events happened. And we, both mum and I, stand in solidarity with the protesters in America and worldwide. And we really hope that change will be coming very, very soon. But we must keep on striving to make that change happen. So back to the podcast. This week we have Joe Lycett. Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and we are still in lockdown. So this is Table Manners Special Circumstances and I'm here with my mum at lunchtime. Say hi, mum.
Hi, darling. I'm feeling very happy today.
Why? Why are you feeling happy?
Because my garden's looking nice. I've got, because I'm here all the time, I'm doing a lot of watering. And I've realised the way to have a nice garden is to water.
Oh, shit. Move over, Monty Don. We've got a new bitch in town. Yeah, watering plants does help them grow, mum.
It's amazing, really. If you water them, they're really happy. And they flower and smile back at you. And I bought all sorts of fertiliser online, as well as my American Dirt book in German. I did buy 3 brooms this week as well, by accident. I thought I'd only bought one, but I bought...
Oh, one of those Amazon, yeah.
I bought 2, and then I bought another one, and then I bought a new kind of sweeping up one. I've got a lot of brooms.
I've got a really nice... recycled washing bowl. However, it kind of defeats the point when you order 2 accidentally, so Amazon sends you 2 different deliveries. So yeah, that was stupid. I'm pretty happy too, mum.
Good, darling. I'm glad you're, but I know you're happy.
I am happy. I love the place where we live, and I keep on being that extra neighbour that's like, hello, singing down the road to people. Not, I'm not actually singing, don't worry. Like, I'm not actually singing down the road. But
how's your local park, darling?
It's so nice, and my daughter is definitely my daughter, because she loves to have a chat with strangers just as much as me. I don't know, when do you tell a 3.5-year-old that they shouldn't say to everybody that they like their dress?
Straight away. Yeah, straight away. Yeah. That you shouldn't talk to strangers,
yeah,
darling.
I know.
That's kind of
I know.
Crucial parent role.
Okay, cool. Noted. So I had some really nice messages from people. I've been doing loads of promo for my album, and I was kind of chatting to Australia, and a shout out to all the Australians that actually listen. There are quite a fair few, mum. They're liking the record, but they're also really loving the podcast. I mean, you're an idol over there, mum.
Darling.
So I reckon we should book in an Australian Down Under Table Manners special.
Let's go, darling. Table Manners Australia.
Oh, my God. Just, mum, the food there is just the best in the world. Honest to God. Anyway, who have we got on today, mum?
We've got on a fabulous man who could be considered to be the new Esther Ranson. I hope he knows who Esther Ranson is.
He's quite young, no?
I don't know how old he is. But he's a comedian. He's also a voice of the people, I would say, with his Watchdog programme. He challenges real swines who are scamming people and acting wrongly in the most funny way. He dresses up in different costumes to challenge them. He's really, really funny. And he's also on The Sewing Bee.
I mean, he does a lot. He writes books. He does stand-up. He won an Edinburgh Fringe Festival award as Best Newcomer. He takes on big international corporations. He is funny.
And as Grandma would say, in his spare time is a teapot.
The brilliant Joe Lycett is coming up on Table Manners Special Circumstances.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I'm just about to do a massive intro for you, Joe. My husband's decided to put the kettle on because he's already not let me go in the living room.
Just running the water. There's some water. Okay, some water. It's hot.
Okay, bye. Go. Thank you. Joe Lycett, thank you so much for doing Table Manners.
What a pleasure. It's so nice to meet you. I've been a long-time fan, first-time caller, and I'm thrilled to be part of the podcast.
How are you? You sound like you're quite busy. I mean, you're on the TV a lot at the moment, and then you're also doing voiceovers, and you're doing... I mean, how is lockdown treating you?
Well, I'm actually not that busy, because all of the stuff that's on telly was filmed ages ago. Like Sewing Bee that's going out now, I filmed that last year. There's a series I make for Channel 4, a consumer series, that's all finished. So the only thing, the voiceover thing is literally just to kind of keep me busy, doing something, because actually there's nothing else going on.
So you're the voice of Dragon's Den.
Well, there's a new series which is like a kind of, a lot of people are making best ofs because they can't make original stuff. So they're making a best of Dragon's Den. And actually, I mean, I haven't watched it for ages, but I watched it in the first episode and it's really good. There's so much good stuff in Dragon's Den.
I love
Den.
It's
such
so
a good
great.
Show, isn't it?
I know.
So it's a sort
fabulous.
Of, it's sort of, it is a best of. I think it's six episodes and it's just the best of. But it's literally just a little gig for me to kind of keep my hand in. And
so you do you talk when they go up in the lift?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Oh, I love it.
That's exactly.
And when
it.
They come down in the lift and they've told them to fuck off,
yes.
You say, yeah.
Yeah, basically, yeah. I sort of lament their failures or celebrate
yeah.
their wins, essentially.
Who's your favourite dragon?
Oh, what a question.
I love Deborah.
Deborah is great.
She's more of a socialist than I thought dragons
yeah, she
would
really
be.
Is, yeah. yeah.
She's kind of very on the side of the people.
Yeah, she's very vocal on social media about, yeah, her sort of, which is good. It's good that she promotes that, because I imagine a lot of business people are not like that. Well, I know they're not, because I take on quite a lot of them in my TV show, and there's some bad eggs out there.
You're fabulous. I love it. And I love it when you dress up. It's so exciting. Do you think, say for the teeth, are you the new Esther Ranson, Joe?
I mean, I think including the teeth, Helena.
Do you know who she is?
Yeah, I do. So I didn't watch That's Life because that was slightly before my time, but that was a bit of a kind of inspiration for the producers of the show was That's Life. And we've sort of done a kind of modern, mad version of that programme.
It's much more fun and more comic.
Oh, I mean, I only watched the one episode, but yeah, I think it is... I think we've straddled the line well. I mean, it's hard to tell. It's sort of because you are taking on serious issues, so you want to take them seriously, but also
I've watched a couple, but your obsession with that Airbnb bloke, the gorgeous, handsome, what was his name, Mr. Lynn?
Finn. Yeah.
Finn.
Yeah.
Was he actually handsome?
He was.
Well, a bit, yeah. I mean,
ish. For
mum,
a gangster.
It's been a tough, a dry lockdown for my mum. Yeah.
Well, likewise. God, my standards have dropped massively, so I'm with you on that one. Yeah, he just got a nice chiselled jawline, and that's all it takes sometimes.
tell us the story about the Airbnb.
So actually, this story we've been developing for 2 years because we started on it when we made the pilot. And basically, we found that there are a load of people on Airbnb. In fact, it involves one of your former guests on Table Manners.
I know.
We discovered that lots of high-end properties in London, including, I think, at the first time we caught him, he was advertising the most expensive property in London as one of his own. And we contacted the people that manage the property, and they were like, we don't rent this out, we have no contact with this guy. But it was all up on Airbnb, and you could pay him, I mean it was tens of thousands of pounds to stay there for a couple of weeks stay. And what he would do is he would persuade you to pay off the platform, and then basically would vanish essentially. Actually, that was a different scam. He's slightly different. He says the boiler's broken. Sorry, I got there's two different sort of types of scam. He was one where he would say, oh, sorry, boiler's broken. I'm moving you to a very similar property. And then the similar property would not be similar at all. And a lot less luxe. And one of the properties that we discovered he was advertising was Ellie Goulding's house. So obviously Ellie Goulding.
The one in central London.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big house, Jess.
Big hits, mum.
Yeah.
Big hits, big house. Jesse knows.
So we rented it, and then a day before he said, oh, the boiler's gone, as per, and moved us to a different one. And yeah, so then we took it to Airbnb, essentially, and we took our findings to them, to their big, shiny new headquarters in Dublin. It was good fun. It's a really fun program to make, but it's so full on. I mean, I find myself particularly wearing costumes. I was sat in a box dressed as Hermes, the Greek god, outside Hermes, the company. And I was there for about 2 hours because we were waiting for the CEO to arrive in his car. And I was in the box and I thought, I could have just developed a panel show. Why am I in this box? You know, I could have just done, oh, what's your favourite person called Chris show? And that would have been so much simpler. You just turn up to a studio.
But it's been, I mean, the big talking point that, and this was during lockdown, because I remember you speaking to Amol on Radio 2.
Oh, yeah.
And this, I was definitely in lockdown by this point, and he had you on, but it happened maybe a couple of weeks before. You changed your name by Depole to Hugo Boss, but you're now back to being Joe, aren't
you?
Yeah,
I am, yes. Yeah. So for about...
Was that a right pain in the arse or not?
Yeah, it's not a simple process. And actually, a lot of the places unfortunately rejected me. My favourite being the DVLA, who said that my signature, which was a cock and balls, was not acceptable. So they wouldn't give me a driving licence for that reason. Hugo Boss was probably the biggest story. I mean, the whole series hasn't gone out yet, but it would surprise me if any of the stories got as much press as that did, because we weren't expecting that much press.
Joe, was it just because you loved Boss beer? Is that how you came across it? Because
we came across it because they emailed. So there's an email address for the show.
Okay, it wasn't that you loved Boss Beer.
No, I didn't know who they were. Okay. And in fact, I only tried the beer once we were filming. So I had
Any good?
Was it worth the fight?
It was worth it. It's a beautiful, delicious beer.
Okay.
Is it?
Yeah, nice crisp beer. And so Hugo Boss basically told them to stop using the word boss, which is just so petty. So I changed my name by deed poll to Hugo Boss. And then everything sort of... I predicted that the Birmingham Mail, who write an article about... Every time I fart, the Birmingham Mail seems to... Because there's nothing else to write about in Birmingham.
Is that because you're a Brummy?
I'm a Brummy, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking to you from Brum, but I don't have the accent.
No, you don't.
Went to grammar school.
I went to university in Birmingham and my mum was from Birmingham.
Oh, did
you? Yeah.
Oh, wow. Which part of Birmingham was she from?
She was from, Small Heath. Really poor. Oh, yeah. Poor. I mean, she's been dead a while, but...
Well, I mean, it's got culturally now, Small Heath, because JK, the grime artist, is from Small Heath, so he talks a lot about Small Heath.
I lived in King's Heath.
I'm literally speaking to you from King's Heath.
Are you?
Yeah,
I lived right above the optician shop.
What a small world that you lived in King's Heath.
I love Brum.
Yeah. No, well, me too. I'm still here. And I have a pad in London, but I just love being in Birmingham. It's particularly in lockdown. The pace of everything here is... I gather that in some of the cities that I suppose we've been harder hit by the virus and we've got bigger numbers, but
you have.
We are largely sticking to the rules, and if you drive through Birmingham, it's quiet. You know, there's not a lot going on. Whereas I gather in some cities they're just sort of carrying on as normal. From what I've heard, it's sort of just people driving around doing whatever. So I'm proud of Bram. We're doing a lot of. We're quietly getting on with things, which is classic Birmingham, basically.
Are you one of a big family?
I've got an older sister, and she does have a bit more of a Brummy accent.
Is she funny?
She is funny, but she doesn't intend to be. She's like, she loves a cheese joke. She loves, those sort of classic, what cheese do you use to entice a bear? Come on, bear. You know, those
sorts of jokes. I didn't know that one. That's an excellent... I love that one.
That's sophisticated stuff.
Yeah. What did the cheese say to itself in the mirror? Halloumi.
That's my level of humour.
Yeah, she loves a cheese joke. But yeah, she's adorable. I love my sister. But she's funny in a kind of... Sometimes she doesn't realise why she's been funny.
She doesn't know it, yeah.
So I'm sure this is a really annoying question, and I'm sure you've been asked it before, but like, who told you you were funny? And when did you... I mean, I think being a singer's a weird job. Being a comedian is a weird job too, right?
Yeah, Yeah.
When do you make that commitment to being like, right, I'm going to bloody make people laugh for the rest of my life? I'm fucking jokes.
You really are committing yourself to being funny, aren't you?
I know. God, it's such a burden.
Such pressure.
Such a pressure. Don't know how I manage. Well, this is the thing. I didn't think I was funny at school. I don't remember making an effort to be funny. I remember afterwards, like at university, the first few years of university, of trying to make people laugh at parties and be like the fun, funny one at parties. And that side of my personality now, I do stand-up, is almost entirely gone. I'm now quite shy at parties and sort of... to be honest, I don't like a party. I like to sort of have a dinner with friends, but a party's too much for me. And I don't remember being funny, but I was in. I found my yearbook, and I was nominated as the funniest student. So I must have been doing.
Did you win?
I won. Yeah, I was. I was.
Okay, you won. Okay, phew.
Yeah, God, if I hadn't won, Jesus.
Imagine if you were like, you got bronze.
Yeah, yeah. I went to school with Eddie Izzard. He won. So I don't remember at that stage being funny, but I must have been trying. And I've always been silly, and I've never really taken life too seriously. And so I think that kind of often translates into being funny, I suppose, just being daft.
Do you have any rituals before you go on stage? Or did you have any that have changed? You know, do you avoid any particular food?
So when I started, I couldn't ingest anything. Pre-show... the idea of eating or drinking anything seemed like ridiculous to even try, because I just felt like I would vomit it straight back up. And as you get better with, I imagine you found the same. When you first start performing, you're so like thrown about by the nerves of it, and the adrenaline is all new to you, and you don't really know what to do with it. And then I just found as the years went on that I learned to channel it a bit more, and I could. Kind of actually, when nerves start to kick in before a show, I really quite like it. It's sort of like, oh, here we go, something's going to happen, and I quite like that little buzz. So now, I mean, sometimes I'll be on tour and I'll be finishing off a Wagamama's pot of something or other seconds before I go on.
Does every comedian start with doing stand-up?
No, I mean, there's all sorts of different ways of approaching it. There was. And A is a kind of sense of you have to kind of earn your stripes in the clubs.
Yeah.
But actually, there's a lot of brilliant people who haven't done that. I mean, Ricky Gervais is a classic example. He never did the clubs, particularly as a stand-up, and went through the kind of more writing, sitcom-y route, and then annoyingly went to stand-up later and was really good at it without having done the clubs. So, but there is this sort of respect that you get from other comics if you've played the Comedy Store in London on a late show, and all of those things that kind of where you learn to be kind of funny in desperate moments.
But you know, when Jessie said I want to do singing, I mean, I was very encouraging because I love her voice and I'm very pushy.
Yeah.
But did your mum and dad, when you said, oh, I'm going to do stand-up, did they say, well, that's a good job?
I think they were quite...
We'd rather have you been a lawyer or a dentist.
There was never that. No, mum and dad have always been so supportive and just let me kind of follow my thread, essentially. And they've been brilliant. But I remember when I said I was going to try stand-up, that mum was quite excited by the prospect. And I can't remember what dad's thoughts were on it. I mean, he kind of kept his thoughts kind of quiet at that point. But yeah, there was no resistance. They weren't like, oh, you shouldn't do that, or that'll be hard, or whatever. It was just like, cool, go for it.
What do your mum and dad work?
So they've retired now, but my dad was a teacher and my mum worked at Cadbury's. So she...
Of course she did.
Yes, in Bourneville.
Did that mean you got loads of
chocolate?
Free Cadbury's?
Oh, God, I wish, Jessie. It was... they had a chocolate shop where you could buy kind of dodgy looking cream eggs and that kind of thing.
Misshapes,
yes. So she sometimes...
The odd box.
The odd box, which is essentially what all stand-ups are. I remember that there was a rule that they could, when they were in the factory, they could eat whatever in the factory, but they couldn't take it off the premises, basically.
Oh, wow.
God.
Okay.
But it was really, like, Cadbury, old school Cadbury was a brilliant company, because they set up essentially,
they
were Quakers, and they set up the whole of Bourneville is all built around supporting the workers and looking after their workers. And it was a brilliant company to work for back in the day. Then it got bought by Kraft, the horrible cheese company, and now it's just like every other company, essentially, just
global, yeah,
global wankers.
So when you were growing up, your dad was a teacher and your mum worked in the chocolate factory.
Yeah.
So what was she a great cook, your mum?
She was a good cook. For whatever reason, I got a real craving at the start of lockdown for faggots and mash.
Oh, wow.
I've never had faggots.
Oh.
What are they?
There's bits in them that you probably wouldn't want to ever look at.
No.
Through a hole.
Is that what your mum used to cook?
Well, sometimes, yeah. I think it was faggots, mash, and then probably some sort of veggies. And we had quite sort of classic, like, British dinners like that. We'd have fish and chips on a Friday. We did a lot of those. It wasn't adventurous stuff that we sort of all do now. It was British proper food, shepherd's pie, those kinds of things, and always delicious. But for whatever reason, that was the food that I needed to comfort me, was faggots and mash. And I think it's the last time I had something similar was in what's that restaurant on Dean Street? Is it the
Dean Street Townhouse?
I think it's called that. And they do a meat and potatoes, and it is just like really rich, beautifully cooked meat and then mashed potatoes. And it's such simple food, but it's so good with like a rich gravy. I love that sort of thing.
Has your mum been making food for you while you're in lockdown? Are you cooking for yourself, or have you got anyone else cooking for you?
No, I'm home alone cooking for myself, and I love it. I've really got into it. I mean, I've always enjoyed cooking. And as I say, I much prefer a little dinner party to a party. And so when I have the time, I love to invite friends round, and friends from different groups, and mash them together and make some ridiculous dish. And so I've been experimenting, and I'm doing all the things that everyone's doing: banana bread, sourdough.
Oh, you've made your own sourdough.
All the things that we're all doing.
Have you got a sourdough starter?
Yeah, I've got a starter, baby. Yeah.
Oh, did you start your own
starter?
Start
and finish.
Oh, wow. Well done. Start. I want to know what you're cooking when you're allowed to be near people and you have people around for your dinner parties. What's been one of your showstoppers dishes that you've done?
So I make a very nice chicken and white bean stew with chorizo.
Ooh.
And it's really, it kind of works all year
Spanish.
Round. It's very Spanishy, but what I love about it is the chorizo really makes the beans really kind of rich. I use cannellini beans, which are a firm favourite of mine. And then you just make the stew very slowly on separately to the chicken. Then you just roast the chicken quite simply with rosemary and thyme and everything. Smash it together. I mean, I'm salivating just thinking about it. Smash it together right at the end. And it's just so lovely. And so it works well because it's light, but also it's got that kind of hearty feel about it. So it could work as a nice autumnal dish.
And what would you serve it with?
A bit of fresh bread, if you know, just to sort of soak up the and then some veggies or whatever. But to be honest, you don't need much with it, because you could roast a few other bits alongside your chicken, or you could do some broccoli or something like that, some greens.
Are you the type of person that does a starter, a main, and a pud, or are you more of a kind of starter main or main and pud?
So me and my friend Caitlin, we haven't done one for ages. We used to do these dinner parties that we'd normally cook for about 10 people,
yeah.
And we would base them on, we'd find the day of the party, and we'd then look on Wikipedia for somebody who would have been 100 years old that day, but it would be someone obscure. So we did like a 100th birthday party for the Austrian mountaineer Herbert Titchy, and because we found that he was that was the day he was born on. And then we would do like stuff that was relevant to Herbert Titchy. I can't remember what we did on that. I remember we did one for a guy called Little Buster Forehand, who was a
Little
blues musician
and
from New Orleans. And we did loads of, stuff like Mama used to make, that kind of stuff. So, like,
oh my God, you know, amazing.
And we did cocktails, and everyone was trashed before even the main course. And that was great fun. So we've done stuff like that, which is fab.
That's a great format for a TV show. I feel like you should be making that happen.
I think I've made enough television for one lifetime. I need to lie down. But you're right.
Have you got any new projects coming up?
I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing, like Sewing Bee and whatever, if they'll have me, for a little while. And then I'm writing more prose stuff, actually. So more, well, like sitcom-y stuff and drama-y stuff. So I'm just sort of seeing where things take me, really. But I'm finding it quite hard to write in lockdown. I spoke to a really good friend of mine who's a writer, and I said, like, ideas don't sort of come to me at the minute in the way that they used to. And she said, Joe, we're living through a catastrophe. if you're writing your best work, you're a psychopath. And I thought that was so brilliant and so helpful. Because it's absolutely right that, like, whatever you're making is good enough right now. It's just because the whole, what I'm remembering is the whole reason I got into stand-up and the whole reason I got into anything is because making things is so reliably, and it could be food, it could be jokes, it could be painting, it could be whatever, or music, of course, it's the most reliable thing that I've found to bring me solace and contentment and happiness. And God, I'm really leaning on it in lockdown and in this time. But it's, I think that's why everyone's so into baking and everything at the minute, because there's something so soothing about just creating a thing.
Yeah.
And particularly if you can eat it. Oh, great.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Do you have good table manners?
I can put them on. If required.
Yeah, I think he does.
And generally, yeah, I think so. But if I'm eating on my own, it is literally...
in front of the telly, shoveling it in.
It's a horror show. It's like punching it into my mouth. There's no decorum. It's just fistfuls of whatever is in front of me straight on in. When you're on your own, you just let stuff just drool down. You just think, fuck it. And the next spoon goes in. Oh, I love it. I love picking apart a chicken as well with your fingers and just shoving bits of chicken in your mouth.
Like Henry VIII or something, that's it. Or like you're in Game of Thrones. Yes. I like
it. Yes. Like, and then I was talking to a friend because I decided I normally quite like washing up, and I've got to the point of lockdown where I'm over it because every meal is at home. So there's no like picking up a Pret and you just throw the thing away. It's like every meal you have to wash up afterwards. And I've decided it would be so fun if I'd love to be the sort of louche character that just has a, like Kanye for food, I have a new plate for every meal. So I just finish what I've had and then just throw it into the neighbour's garden, just toss the plate. I'd love that.
The dream, imagine.
Yeah.
I want to know what your, we ask everybody this, you'll know, death row meal or Last Supper?
Mm.
No, hold on. Last Supper, death row meal or desert island meal? You take your pick. Starter, main, pud and drink of choice.
Okay, so I think it would all be stodge, a lot of stodge. There's a starter that they do in a restaurant in Moseley. You'll know Moseley, Helena.
Yeah.
Called Zindia. It's a brilliant restaurant. And actually, if I'm going to die and I can go to one restaurant, I'll just go there.
Is it an Indian restaurant?
Indian streetery, basically. So you can have lots of little plates that go on forever. So it would stall the death as well. I could be there all night. but there's one particular dish they do, which is a samosa char, which is just heaven.
What's in it?
It's... very beautiful crispy samosa, and then the char over the top is like a chickpea curry essentially, but then there's like a sort of yogurty something on top and then some pomegranate seeds at the finish. I'm not a big fan of pomegranate seeds, so that's the one thing that I don't like about it. The rest of it's great. So I'd have that as a starter. Maybe if I can have two starters alongside it, I'd have they do these little soy tikka bites, which are like little chicken tikka bites, but they're made with soy and they're actually juicier and more flavoursome than chicken. I don't know how they do it. There's some sort of vegan wizards, but that is delicious. Then for main.
Are you going to eat from the same restaurant for your main? Or are you going somewhere else?
Well, the thing with that is it wouldn't be one course. It would all just come.
Fine.
You know what I mean? So I wouldn't have a starter and then a separate main. I'd just go... because they also do these salmon tikka bites, which are beautiful, and these lamb chops. Oh, and they do these trio of dosa, which like these sort of pancakes filled with, you can have them with chicken paneer or I think it's lamb, I think the other one is.
Ooh.
And they come with all these lovely dipping like dals and things. Mm. So I'd have a lot of that.
So are we on to pudding then now?
Yeah, I suppose we're on to pudding. For pudding, I just love a bowl of cereal.
I think boys do more than girls. Lots of boys like cereal.
I do love a bowl of cereal.
Which one?
To be honest, I'm not that fussy. I used to... Here's a ridiculous fact. When I went to school, I used to have... before I went to school for my breakfast, I would have 6 Weetabix and a pint of full-fat milk. That was my breakfast. And then I couldn't work out why I was basically shitting through
the eye of the needle. Weight problem.
I was so chub.
Tubby.
Yeah. And shitting so much. Like, you know, when you're having that much fiber, it's absolutely absurd how much you're shitting. I would also have 2 Whisper Golds at break time. That was before lunch.
Fucking best. Whisper Gold. Do you remember when they brought them back?
Yeah. And they didn't stick around for very long.
There was a campaign. I know there was a campaign. And I used to see it when I was pretty high at festivals, and they'd have the bring back Whisper Gold, I thought I saw it, but the Whisper Gold, such a great, it's
up there. I think it's one of my faves. I know it's one of my faves.
Do they not do it anymore?
I don't think so. Bloody Kraft.
Oh, is it? Oh, bastards.
Because it's Cadbury's, isn't it? It's Cadbury Whisper Gold.
So it's cereal and then a Whisper.
Well, I don't think it, it would have been. But I made in lockdown, a friend of mine made it for me and then I've since made it. It's a vegan chocolate brownie that's made with chia, ground chia and miso.
Oh, yeah.
Loads of sugar goes into it. But the miso, so this is it. I made some for mum and dad and took them to them. And mum loved them because they're really rich and dad hated them because they're really rich. But the miso gives a sort of caramel, salty flavour to it. And then you've got the richness of the dark chocolate. And then so much light brown sugar goes into it. It's absolutely a heart attack, but it's so gooey because of the chia. It's got that lovely texture, and then when you cook it, it just sort of crisps the top up. It's one of the most glorious, and I made a big block of it, and other than the stuff that I sent to mum and dad, I ate it all in about 3 days, which is why in lockdown I have put on just under a stone.
I think everybody has.
Thank you, sourdough. Thank you, brownies.
You look gorgeous. Have you had your lunch yet?
I haven't. I had a quite a big breakfast. I did a big frittata.
Oh, yeah.
So I will...
what was in the frittata? Really got...
What was in it?
Sausage, not Gruyere, manchego, mushroom, onion, and a little bit of sun-dried tomato.
Oh, nice.
Mm. Wow.
It was really nice, actually, yeah. And I managed to get it just that little gooey bit in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the key with a... You don't overcook it. You just allow just a little bit of the egg to kind of ooze a bit when you cut into it. Mm.
Joe, do you ever do karaoke?
Yeah, I do.
What's your karaoke song?
It's Lose Yourself by Eminem.
Ooh.
Because I don't know off by heart the first and second verse, but I do know off by heart, for whatever reason, I don't even know why, the third verse. And so you start off and you're kind of reading the screen and everyone's like, oh, okay, you know, you can rap a bit, whatever. And then suddenly on the third verse, you go off screen. And you're like, no more games, I'm a change. What you call rage, turn this motherfucking roof off like 2 dogs cage. And people go, oh my God, like people lose their mind because they think that you actually knew it all along, but I didn't. I just know that little bit.
I like the performance. I like that the jeopardy
in
that. We haven't had anybody that provides such jeopardy in a karaoke song. But that's brilliant. I just, I wanted to know, because you live in London sometimes, but you're in Birmingham at the moment. So where do you like to go out when you're in London? And are there any food places that you kind of adore?
So I think the best restaurant in the world is a restaurant called 40 Maltby Street, which is under an archway near Bermondsey, basically. It's it started out as a wine, they just sold natural wines, and they are a great champion of biodynamic wine, which is mad. Mm. When you actually look into how it's made, it does sound like total madness. It's to do with, you have to bury an ox's head, the skull of an ox, certain depth beneath the grapes, and they harvest based on moon cycles. And it sounds like a kind of cult thing. But whatever they do does produce a very distinct, what they call off the farm sort of smell, and very simple crisp flavor, essentially. And it's the if any bottle of biodynamic wine is pretty much delicious if it's well done. And they do a lot of them. There's a brilliant winemaker called Jerome Jurey, who I would
great name
die for a bottle of. It's a brilliant name. He does some lovely wines. And they, but they, so they started as doing just like, they had like a ham that they'd have on the side, and then maybe some cheese or whatever. And then it started to develop. And now it's a different, different menu every, and they're not open all the time. They're only open on Saturdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I think. It's a different, based on what they've found, essentially what they've got, that sort of come to them, that's inspired them. But they normally do something like a fish, and then they normally do something quite sort of fresh, like a nice salad, and then there'll be something sort of brothy.
So I've moved to South East London.
Oh.
And they're doing bloody deliveries.
Maltby Street are. 40 Maltby Street.
Well, it looks like we have asparagus and cheddar tarts and glazed pork collar ham available for collection today. You fucking changed my life, Joe. This is amazing.
And it will be, it'll be delicious, Jessie, honestly.
Oh,
but the
yes.
atmosphere there is so good. I would go there, if I was gigging in London, I would go there for lunch and I would basically stay there drinking wine with friends for as long as I could. And then I would go and do a very drunken show in the evening. Really took my career seriously at that point. They were happy days, but it's a lovely atmosphere in there. Beautiful wine, great food. You will not regret. Whatever they're selling will be delicious.
When lockdown finishes and you're in London, please will you ring me up and tell me and we can go together?
Yes, I would.
And we can spend 48 hours together if you want to, and we could just chat and you can teach me about biodynamic wine. I'd really like that.
Jessica, you're a married woman.
Purely a... alcohol friendship and culinary friendship.
Yes, a culinary friendship.
Wow.
You seem like you know everything about wine and good spots. So you, my kind of guy.
Well, I've been very fortunate that friends of mine are very good at finding the best places, and then I just follow them. So I kind of, yeah, it's not, I'm not the one that's sort of going through the magazines, reading about all the papers, finding these places. I just say, where we're going today, and I don't choose. But the Maltby Street has, I've been to a lot of really nice restaurants, and I've been really fortunate that I've eaten well over my life, and I've never found anywhere better than there. It's my top.
Oh, wow, let's go.
Great.
Don't you owe me a Mother's Day present, Jess?
Oh, there we go.
All right, Mum.
And Christmas.
Okay, you're going to have a long time at Maltby Street. The other
how long
thing
is this lockdown going on for?
Oh, I think the line's gone. Oh, gosh. They have a street market there as well on a Saturday and Sunday. Because
yes.
We filmed Sewing Bee around the corner from there, which was such hell because there's such long days that every lunchtime I'd be so tempted to go around the corner and just have a glass of wine in Maltby Street. And I couldn't because...
Do you know, I really want a glass of wine
me
now.
Me too. You've really...
have one.
You've really kind of... I'm going to, I think.
I'm going to have a... When this finishes, I'm going to have a crisp cold beer. That's what I'm going to have in the sunshine.
Oh, yeah. Well... It is finished, and it's been such a pleasure to meet you and chat.
Likewise. I'm a fan, so I'm really... I was so thrilled to be asked, and what a delight it's been.
I'd like to come to your stand-up, then.
Yes, well, you'd be so welcome.
Do you think you'll ever do stand-up again?
God, I hope so. I'm going to start by doing little gigs, because that's my favourite thing.
Oh, I'd like a little gig.
Well, come along to a little gig.
And I won't heckle, I promise.
I love a heckler, so let's see who wins.
He was lovely.
Oh, I really loved him.
A bit in love now.
Yeah, I knew you were. You were really trying to like pull out all the Brummy references, really trying to seduce him with your Brum knowledge. Jesus, Mum, chill out.
Connect, darling. Just connect in the best way I knew how.
I'd like 48 hours with Joe. What a wonderful guy.
He was lovely.
He's a foodie boy. Oof. And a wino.
What else would you want in a man?
Yeah, imagine being locked down with Joe.
And he's funny.
Yeah. Why isn't he married already, for God's sake?
Don't know.
It was such a pleasure to have Joe Lycett on. I mean, there's so plenty more we could have talked about with his ever-evolving career of kind of just doing everything.
So clever, Jessie.
I know.
And thoughtful and really interesting. and kind of matured. He kind of seemed older than his years. So I was surprised.
He reminded me of Chris Sweeney a bit too.
Yeah.
What a joy. You can catch Joe Dicer on The Sewing Bee at the moment, and you'll be able to hear him in your ears for The Dragon's Den. And also, Joe Lycett's Got Your Back is on TV at the moment. What a guy. Loved it. And I'm going to go and have a drink now, I think. I was supposed to be having a few more days off. I was supposed to not drink till Friday. It's Friday tomorrow. That's okay.
Have you not drunk all week?
No. I think we finished off some rosé on Monday that needed to be finished off, you know.
Darling.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Why, Mum?
Because you know how I love to hear you sing.
Yes.
And the tour is happening next year.
Finally.
I'm coming on tour with you, darling.
You're absolutely not.
I've tried to get tickets.
They're not out yet, Mum. They come out this Friday on my website, jessieware.com.
What time?
It's an early one for you, Mum. It's 10 o'clock.
Darling, that's not early.
10 o'clock, jessieware.com. You can go and get my tickets for my UK tour for my new album. Thank you to everyone who is listening to this podcast. We love making it for you and we haven't asked for a while. So please, if you fancy subscribing or rating us, you know how it goes. We only accept five stars. And just review us. We'd love to get your feedback. Well, one of us
would. As long as it's nice.
There we go.
Otherwise, it will make me cry. And that would not be nice.
No, it won't make her cry. It will make her aggressive. And then Alice and I will have to hear about it. So please, just do positive notes. Or, you know, constructive criticism. If you like us a little bit, then you could give us a vote at the British Podcast Awards.
Please go to the BritishPodcastAwards.com and vote for your favourite podcast, Table Manners, which you'll find on the Listener's Choice Awards.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Joe Lycett. Thank you to Mother. And bye, everyone. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.